The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. I am Mike Heck, and while I proudly don the matchmaking hat once again, following UFC Vegas 58, it is with mixed emotions that we begin this program. And I'm just going to say right off the bat, for our wonderful listeners, our wonderful Otno community, we apologize, because this is not the intro that I initially did, because this is now the second time that we are recording this friggin' episode of the show, because AK and I have to say, if there was a podcast Hall of Fame, AK and I, with this episode following UFC Vegas 58, we would be first ballot Hall of Famers with this episode. It was tremendous. We read all the listener picks. We did everything. We did check the tapes. We gave doo-doo away and then gave the doo-doo that we gave to you to somebody else. And then literally, I mean literally, as we're wrapping up the show on a beautiful sunny morning here in right outside Hilton Head, South Carolina, the power just randomly goes out in my house. Like literally just randomly goes out. And we lost everything. The power went out for 5 minutes. I turned the computer back on, went to the actual recording, and it was gone. It was gone. I am very angry right now, but I am trying to push these feelings down because we still want to give you a show. Because AK, who is joining me right now, AK, you're just as angry as I am. How are you? And thank you for doing this yet again.
My best friend, it's a good thing that you're here, because I don't know if I could go through this with anybody else. I am almost literally in tears. It's taking all my strength not to cry. We had a banger of a show. Just tight minutes. Talking about MMA, having a good time, having a laugh. Great picks. Great listener picks. Great listener comments. Which, again, in this new version, we're probably not going to have time to do. Just schedules are just not permitting right now. So you guys are going to get a little bit of a truncated version of the show. Remember, guys, we saw all your picks. We're very happy with what you sent in. We're logging it for future Otno point, you know, distribution purposes. There's still a couple of comments we're going to read out that really stood out. But otherwise, yeah, getting a little bit of a shortened version of the show. Mike, there was one point in the show where you and I think we took like 15 minutes and we like solved, like we fixed fighter pay. We fixed scoring. We fixed it, what to do about weight cutting, how to bring all the promotions together in a way that's fair to everyone for like a super show. It was just, I think we like blacked out for a second. And then we said, it's a good thing we got that recorded, because we're never repeating all that again. We're like, it's a good thing that is down on tape. because we just nailed it and we solved every problem. I think we expanded even to like, you know, finding ways for world peace. We like dipped into that. It's gone now. It's all gone now. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to muster up that kind of inspiration again. But we persevere. We push on.
I want to run through a wall right now, but I'm not going to. I'm not going
to.
That
beautiful wood wall, that beautiful wood paneled wall behind you. You are ready to straight up Kool-Aid man through it.
I'm not happy, but
for the listeners, we got to keep it together.
Yes. We pondered multiple ways to do this. In fact, we were going to just not re-record this at all. We were going to do how this idea, this concept initially began. We were going to do a shortened version of a write-up. And we decided, no, we're just going to hit record. We're going to try this again. It's going to be a little bit of a shortened version. Trust me when I tell you, we read all of your picks. And let me just say this. Those who sought redemption for the doo-doo episode, you are redeemed, okay?
Yes.
You are officially redeemed.
I remember their names. Jack Porter.
Yep.
Chris London. Well done with this week's picks. You are redeemed. I want to bring back the analogy I used that just was gone now. It is like at the weigh-ins when they bring in, you guys had to strip down. We brought in the box. We put the box. You had to step to the scale. And it is either box of shame or box of redemption. You guys made that weight. You guys made championship weight with these picks. You are redeemed. It is a box of redemption for both of you gentlemen.
Oh my God. I just thought of the best idea as you were talking about the box. You know what they should do from now on? Just to make, can you imagine how much more fun the weigh-in show would be if they brought out the box? They did the weight, but then they didn't say anything. And they like put a spotlight over the box. And they just raise the box and it's either like this gloomy, doomy music, or it's like a hallelujah song with like sparkles flying down. Like Chris Masters was making his walk to the WWE ring. Like, oh God, that's just so much more fun.
This is
so much more dramatic.
This is Vegas Mike talking. You got a taste for all that showmanship now, and you're like, you're seeing it everywhere now.
Oh man, that's just a tremendous idea. But let's get down to business. We're gonna rifle through these as best we can here.
Yeah,
let's talk about Rafael Fiziev because he is the shining light on all of this. He did the damn thing. Tremendous showing. Excellent takedown defense. Finishes RDA in the fifth round. No issue with the stoppage whatsoever. Biggest win of his career. Continues to move up the ladder. And what is great about this situation, AK, is that there's so many fun fights for Rafael Fiziev right now. So many. Calls out Justin Gaethje. No one's going to complain about that one. Is there a chance this fight happens? Do you see something else?
He deserves a top five guy. He wants a top five guy. Gaethje is a great name to call out. I don't think that's the top five guy he gets. I am leaning towards Dustin Poirier, because I do not care about this Dustin Poirier, Michael Chandler beef that seems to be developing. Again, hey, listen, great job by both guys. If they're, you know, setting the seeds for a future matchup, awesome fight. I'm sure fans would want to see. But I want Fiziev to get a top 10 guy. And I don't think the Poirier Chandler beef seems, I don't want to say it's manufactured. I think it's real, but I just don't care for it. So yeah, give me Fiziev and Dustin Poirier. And just to jump ahead a little, Mike, because I know we'll talk about this. And then I think RDA should get Chandler. And I wanted to see RDA fight Poirier for a while, but you know, then he got the Fiziev fight instead, so that kind of resets that pick for me. So I'll go Fiziev gets Poirier, Dos Anjos gets Chandler, and whatever. Poirier can Chandler, and Chandler can fight each other some other time down the road.
I didn't think we'd really see a time in our great sport where multiple people are calling out Justin Gaethje, because that's usually like the boogeyman fight. Like, no one says that guy's name. And now everyone seems to be saying that guy's name. Matush Gamrot called out Gaethje as well. I love his win over Amran Tsarukyan. That fight is not going to get enough attention. Will not get the love that it deserves in the archives of UFC fights and fight cards. I just feel like the Fiziev finish of a former champion just means more right now, especially since most people thought, not most people, but a lot of people thought Gamrot actually lost that fight to Tsarukyan. So Gamrot Gaethje would be awesome, but we're giving Fiziev what he wants. Give him Gaethje, who is, I feel like a psychopath with how excited I am to see those two guys just fire hands and feet at each other. Do it at MSG, do it in Vegas, do it anytime, I don't care. I know Gaethje is about to get some nose surgery, so I feel like the timing will line up perfectly for November, December. Let's just do it. I don't care if it's five rounds, I don't care if it's a fight night main event, I don't care if it's on a pay-per-view card, that fight is friggin' awesome. That is great.
There is a genuine bloodlust in your eyes talking about that fight, and not just from us losing.
That's where most of it comes from. But
that's where most of it comes from, but definitely also just from talking about this fight.
Yeah, now I'm making that fight 9 rounds. RDA Gaethje.
Someone has to pay for
all of this. It's those two guys, but none of us are really paid. It'd be great. Now, RDA, you mentioned it. I feel like he should go all in on this Conor McGregor fight. I feel like it actually makes sense to do it now. Like, this would probably be the only thing to keep RDA really motivated, and I feel like it's a good opportunity for Conor to come back. I would still slightly favor RDA, but I think Conor's striking, if he could just not get taken down, I think he's got a good chance to win, but I would still slightly favor RDA. If not, it's just going to be a rough road for RDA because he's going to have to fight probably Sarukyan, and that just sucks for him really terribly. So if I'm him, I'm just saying, hey, Conor, bulk up all you want. Let's do it at 170. Let's go try to get Conor salivating for that fight. Otherwise, yikes. It's not going
to
be good.
I hope that happens because he's still going to have a number to his name when our next edition of the rankings come out. He's still a former UFC champion. He's still a legend in the sport. And there's a lot of people who would love to add all that to their own resumes.
Caio Baraglio is now 2-0 in the UFC. Gets the win, second consecutive main event. It was we weren't expecting quite a middleweight fight between him and Aaron Petrosian, but that's what we got. That's what we got. And I think we need to test Mr. Baraglio moving forward. I initially wanted to see my pick fight Joaquin Buckley, but Joaquin Buckley is now fighting in Paris against Nasruddin Imavov. Big opportunity. So my pick is a guy who can test him on the feet, hang on the ground, can be offensive with his wrestling, and maybe put Baraglio on his back a little bit. Phil Haas is my pick, AK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very popular listener pick. A lot of people send that one in. I went with Edmund Shahbazyan. This is a guy who gets thrown out in our show a lot, on Not Know a Lot, because people were trying to find sort of the right matchup for Edmund to get him back to that sort of that golden boy status he had when he was just running through people in the first round. Baraglio, stylistically, I understand, might not be that guy. Most of the questions around Edmund Shahbazyan revolve around his grappling defense. We've seen Baraglio, very strong offensive grappler. But I like that Shahbazyan has changed camps. I think he's still young. I think maybe, you know, I assume grappling defense is something he's put an emphasis on. So I have no problem with seeing it get tested. I think it's also a good name for Baraglio. I just don't know where he is as a prospect yet. Clearly a very strong guy, could be a top 15 guy sooner rather than later. But I don't need to throw him in there yet. I still have Edmund ranked fairly highly, probably just coming off of because he had a win over Brad Tavares so long ago. So yeah, for me, this benefits both guys. But Baraglio faces a guy who is, I think, my opinion, still definitely a top 30 middleweight, maybe closer to top 25 for me. I understand why people would have dropped him out of there. And for Edmund, face a guy who's sort of on the come up. And if you can defuse him, regain some of your career momentum.
Yeah, they got something with this guy. He just needs to go out and have a just run somebody over and get a great finish.
He's good.
He's good. He could talk. They got something with him. The fight nerd thing, he's embracing it. Good.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Saeed Nurmagomedov, just another exciting name, AK, in this super fun bantamweight division. Great win. Douglas Silva de Andrade is no pushover whatsoever. DSA showed up and wanted a bang. He wanted a brawl, and it was just a crazy fight. I enjoyed it very much, especially comparing it to the co-main event. Unanimous nod for Nurmagomedov. 135. It's just so much fun, my best friend. How do we book this individual after a great fight on Saturday?
All right. So I kind of got my Nurmagomedov situations mixed up in a bad way. So when Umar Nurmagomedov, no relation, when Umar Nurmagomedov recently won, I said, give him Rob Font, because I think Umar is a top 10 talent. Give him a top 10 guy. That's the way to go. And I've done the same for Saeed Nurmagomedov. I want him to fight the Corey Sandhagen Song Yadong loser that just became official for September 17th. And I'm thinking maybe I should have switched that around. Maybe I should have had Umar get the Sandhagen Song Yadong loser and had Saeed face Rob Font. But I'm standing by this. I'm okay with this. I still think Umar, Rob Font, great matchup. And I know people, let's say if Sandhagen lost a song, they might say like Saeed versus Corey Sandhagen is a bit too soon. And it probably is. But if Sandhagen loses a song, he'll be on a losing streak. Again, it's a losing streak that includes a title fight. So, you know, you kind of always have to take those with a grain of salt. He'll be on a losing streak. And I don't think he can be picky about who he fights. And I think a guy like Saeed, I think it'd be a super fun fight. I think it's a guy, if he beats him, It means a lot because Saeed is definitely someone people are watching now. He's like 5-1 in the UFC right now. And Song obviously makes a lot of sense. Song is closer to Saeed in the rankings right now. If he lost, then you match him up with Saeed. It just makes sense for both guys, and they both kind of jockey for a top 10 ranking. But yeah, I'm comfortable saying either Sandhagen or Song Yadong next for Saeed Nurmagomedov. I'm pretty high in him as a prospect, even in the loaded 135-pound division.
Love the pick. I can't give it justice because the actual way I relayed this pick in the original recording was just so much better. I was so happy to say Victor Henry's name. This is the opposite of middleweights. This is bantamweighty bantamweights. Saeed Nurmagomedov versus Victor Henry is great. Finally get to say his name on the show, not reading a listener pick. This is the one. I'm so pumped. This is the way this should go. And if we still had the recording of the first one, I mean, angels would have been singing. But let's move on to Chase Sherman, AK. How about Chase Sherman doing the damn thing? Keeps the career going, gets a bonus. He stops Jared Vandera, who probably is not long for this UFC world after last night. And Vandera's a fun guy. He looks different every time he fights. He looks like a different human being every time he fights. Just the fight IQ, I just don't know where it is. Like, I just don't get it. But Sherman gets it done. Late stoppage in the third round, and I don't mean like late referee stoppage. I mean, technically, you could actually make the argument there if you really wanted to, but gets a stoppage late in the fight, and it's Beast Boy time, AK. It's Chase Sherman versus Chris Barnett. That's the fight. We're not getting a Friends Forever because I already know what your pick is, but yours is fun. Yours is equally as fun.
You had hoped. Yeah, and this is, Chris Barnett, popular listener pick. This was also a popular listener pick. I want to see Sherman in there with William Knight. I need to see this contrast of styles and experience and of course, body types. That's always hilarious to me. Nowhere more so than at heavyweight do you see, like, again, a more diverse potentially diverse pairing of bodies. So I would love to see Sherman and Knight face off both after after the weigh-ins and then on fight night. It would look cool. And legitimately, I think it's kind of a fun test for William Knight if he decides to stay at heavyweight, because I think he has a future at light heavyweight, but it is just a tough weight cut. He has an unfortunate, this is the only time you'll ever refer to William Knight as having an unfortunate body type, almost like Thiago Alves, where like he's really stocky, but he's not a tall guy for his, light heavyweight. So if he stays at heavyweight, he's going to be undersized. He's going to be this short, stocky guy. And I love that. I hope that's what happens. I hope he doesn't stress his body out anymore and he just enjoys all the steak and meat and whatever it is that he eats to look like that for the rest of his life and doesn't have to dehydrate himself. But so my ideal is he stays at heavyweight and ends up fighting guys like Chase Sherman and who knows someday falls ass backwards into a top 10 ranking or something. But a lot of great options for Sherman. Saved his UFC career probably. Got an extra 50 Gs. God bless America.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Speaking of country pride, Canada got themselves a win.
Woo!
AK. Ayman Zahabi gets it done. He does it in front of good old GSP. I mean, talk about pressure on you. GSP flies to Vegas just to watch you fight. A lot of people saying Ayman Zahabi's new nickname should be Ariel Helwani because they kind of do look alike, but he beats Ricky Tercios, who just tried to throw a lot and landed nothing. Like, this was like, this was like Craig Raybeck baseball numbers in the early 1990s where he went like 1-87 at one stretch. Like, this is what Ricky Tercios is throwing in there. 11% strikes landed, over 200 plus strikes thrown.
That's bad.
It's really bad. Ayman Zahabi threw half the amount of strikes and landed double what Ricky Tercios landed. It's just crazy, but Zahabi's got a win streak, AK. What are we doing?
Who was louder, though, Mike? Who was louder? Ask yourself that. I didn't mention in this version of the show, but I was kind of half watching the show. I had the night off as far as work was going, but I had people, I was with people and things like that. But I did have the card on a laptop or something, and so I could hear, every now and then I was listening to the fights. And of course, this fight, the audio was quite memorable. Ricky Tercios, very loud. The commentary talking about Ricky a lot. So I thought Ricky was like 10-8ing Eamon every round. But every time I looked over, I actually watched the fight. I was like, I don't see like Ricky landing much. I think he landed like 3 strikes in the first round or something, which is, again, considering how much he moved and kiaed and actually threw, is quite astonishing. So, but yes, for the winner, Eamon Zahabi. I want to be a little bit slow with it, but I also want to give him another guy who's kind of on the rise. Mario Bautista, super impressive lately, probably deserves to fight forward, not backward, but I still think he has a little more to prove. Also, the division's super deep, so I don't feel the need to rush him. I don't feel the need to rush him up against a top 30 guy. Let's see. I just give him another kind of fun, challenging matchup here, and let's see where he goes with it. Because if Mario Bautista can run through Eamon Zahabi, very strong technical striker, then we really know we have something with Bautista, and I'll happily give him a top 25, top 20 guy, and the next time we ought know for him.
I explained this better in the first one, but literally I basically just went to a list of bantamweights in the UFC and scrolled down and just hit stop, and Trevin Jones was the guy. It's a fun fight, and it makes sense.
I like
so
it.
Let's do it. Jamie Mullarkey, fun scrap with Michael Johnson. I went into this a lot more because I said on Twitter to everybody that I was going to rewatch this fight because I just didn't understand Mullarkey getting the nod here. Didn't say it was a robbery. I just felt Johnson won the first and he won the third. Second was clearly Mullarkey. It's insane. Went back and watched it this morning. I'm not going to be as happy about it now because I'm just so angry about losing the first recording, but I still scored a 29-28 Johnson after the rewatch. Johnson had a clear knockdown. I know Mullarkey had Johnson hurt. It looked like he might have gotten a knockdown, but he wasn't given the knockdown, wasn't scored a knockdown. It was a great fight. Tremendous fight. It just sucks that Michael Johnson only gets half his paycheck. Yes, he got 50 Gs. That kind of softens the blow a little bit, but he should have gotten a flat fee plus 50 Gs for a fight like that. Good win for Mullarkey. Great name to have on the resume, and I think he should fight Alexander Hernandez next, AK.
Kind of like you did for Eamon Zahabi, I kind of just had to go to the rankings here. So I landed on Ricky Glenn, who's in Mullarkey-ish range in my rankings. Coming off, dealing with a groin injury he had to pull out of a fight recently, but he has said that his plan was to come back late summer. I don't know if that's getting changed now, but again, Mullarkey just fought. So if Ricky Glenn needs more time to recover and wants to wait a little bit, we can make this one happen in the fall. So another potential fight of the night there. And another fight for Mullarkey to kind of show, how much of an actual contender he might be. He had that great fight with Brad Riddell too. So, look, I don't know if he's just a bonus getting wild man, but I'm very excited to find out. And I think Ricky Glenn, just solid test.
Yeah, I like that one as well. Let's go to the wild card round, AK.
Yes.
Everyone knows what the wild card round is. Don't need to do a full description of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We don't have the time.
We don't have the time.
Go.
Michael Johnson, like you said, possibly robbed of a win, but sir, not robbed of a spot, not in a wild card spot. So I'll go with him and give a little hat tip to the listeners here who recently, a lot of them said, hey, Jim Miller, his next fight, throw him in there with another veteran. Whoever wins the Michael Johnson Mullarkey fight, a lot of people said win, lose, or draw, just Michael Johnson. And I agree. That's the way to go. Two guys with a hell of a lot of fights. This is Michael Johnson's 26th UFC appearance, which I know is no Jim Miller, which is crazy to say because 26 UFC fights is more fights in the UFC than most people have in their entire pro careers. You're comparing it to Jim Miller. So there you go. Great fight for both guys. Jim Miller, I think, would love to take it. He'd love to fight anybody, but it'd be fun to fight someone who has, at least a lot of UFC experience as opposed to before the Cowboy fight. He was fighting some guys in their debuts, some guys with one UFC fight, just crazy. He'll literally match up with anyone. Let's give him someone a little bit closer as far as experience goes. So yeah, I'm down for Michael Johnson, Jim Miller. Put that in a pay-per-view somewhere and let's roll.
Love that fight. I was going to go with Cody Brundage because I felt like he got hosed out of a bonus for just starching Trayshon Gore, doing it on the feet. I love the post-fight after. I thought we were going to wrestle. I thought we were here to wrestle.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Knocks him out. It was great. Great performance to Cody. He's very happy with it. I thought he should have got a bonus. I was going to give him the opportunity, but the listeners did, and they're throwing this man to the wolves. Pretty much every pick we got was Brundage against a monster, and I'm down for all those things. I'm pretty high on Cody. I think he's starting to get the confidence going to Factory X, but I didn't go with that. I'm going with David Onama. Fun fight with Garrett Armfield. I like Garrett Armfield as a prospect. I like him better as a bantamweight prospect, but he stepped in on short notice, fought David Onama. They had fought before, had a decision. Garrett Armfield brought the fight to Onama. I just knew at some point the size, the strength, the short notice nature of this all was going to catch up to him, and that's what happened. Onama puts him to sleep with an arm triangle. It's time for the vet test. I guess a very durable guy in Juicy J, Julian Arosa. Sorry I had to say it again, AKA record, but it is what it is. I just want to see what happens when Onama absolutely cracks somebody and he's just like, okay, I'm going to keep punching you back. Like, that's what I want to see. I think this is a good test. And I feel that if you're an up-and-coming 45er and you beat Julian Arosa, you're going to be a top 10 guy. At least, you know, Mike, that's the way I see it.
The one thing I don't regret about losing is how many times we said Juicy J on the initial recording. We said it a lot, and every time I said it, I felt more disgusted. So him and Brandon Royval, I'll tell you, I don't know who has the worst nickname, but if I can avoid saying them ever again in the future or even referring to them, I will.
Wait, what's Royval's nickname?
I'm not. You know what? It's not coming to me right now. I just know I'm not a...
Isn't it supposed to be like the year of this nickname?
You know, I see people saying that, and I don't know why they say that. It's inaccurate. It is not the year of... I'm not going to say it. You almost got me.
Oh, you! Oh, I thought you were... I thought it was coming out. Thought it was going to happen. All right. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna go to you, AK.
Let's do our quick check the tape segment. This was worth it. We're not gonna do listener picks this week, guys. And again, apologies. Just the technical difficulties.
We did them. I promise you, we did them, and we did them.
And
for
they
like
were so
40
good.
Minutes.
We were mad at you sometimes. We love you guys. The most important thing you guys know is we loved the picks you guys sent in and the comments you guys sent in this week. It was just phenomenal stuff. So much stuff for Mike and I to bounce off of. Shout outs to, first of all, Romelo Reyes. Ro, I'm sorry this is your first time, but I do want to say I did see your picks, and they were not doo-doo. They were very, very good, and I really appreciate you. So that was a nice first timer. One more first timer I want to mention before I do our mic check here. Check the tapes. Reese at the Spicy Gambler, who somehow got this amazing Twitter handle. We saw your picks as well. Shout out. I will make sure. Remind me when you DM me. I will read out all your picks next time. You and Ro on email. Okay. So the check the tapes. This show was called the There Can Be Only One Edition, courtesy of Marcus McGahee. So thank you, Marcus, for the show name. Mike, a point to you, sir. One that I would hope you would share with the listeners. This was a popular pick. Mackenzie Dern, Yan Xiaonan. Looks like that's happening October 1st. So please, in your infinite mercy and wisdom, sprinkle some of that solo point part of it to the listeners.
I am going to do that. I also got points for Lupi Godinez and Angela Hill. I'm foregoing all of my points for Bilal Muhammad versus Sean Brady.
Oh, yes.
I was right the whole entire time. I knew when Bilal Muhammad called out Colby Covington that this is exactly the fight he was going to get.
Yes.
But I'm giving my points, or at least my share of the points, to the Otno Coin Collector, who sent in a tremendous email.
Yes. I will get to that in a second. I did want to also shout out Jonathan Hotz, Sam Hughes versus Piera Rodriguez, October 15th. Didn't see anyone else who had this. Well done, Jonathan. Please take this point. Use it wisely. Don't go to Vegas like Mike and just blow it on all kinds of unsavory Vegas-y things. Invest it. This is for you, for your family, for generations of your family. It will. This one point can go so far. And yes, especially according to Otno Coin Collector, who's really kind of jumped right into the Otno point scene. I'll read this email. This is a great way to send us out. Traditional crypto has not been performing to the same level of this newly emerging friendship currency. Mike, friendship, much stronger than the blockchain. The strongest blockchain of all, one might say.
That's right.
We of the Otno trading public graciously accept a 0.5% increase, of increased Otno future gains established by the strong hand of Mike Heck. His hostile takeover of the RoboCop versus Chidi and Jaquani point was a sour pill at first. It had me stewing over the potential mic check, but cooler heads prevailed, as it is still better than what the banks are offering currently. With these marginal gains, I hope to establish a foundation for doo-doo pickers everywhere so that they too can benefit in spite of pathetically researched picks. Otno Coin Collector, thank you so much. So charitable, and what a lovely and well-informed message.
Yes, well done. And that's why you get my Brady Muhammad share of the points. In the
there you
action.
Go.
So well done. Anything else?
No, Mike, I wish we had time for anything else. But that I believe that is it for this week.
So I'm just going to lay out a couple of things.
Yes.
Kennedy and Chichuku versus Alonzo Menafield. We gave out a warning if you match those two guys up. Because although Menafield does a little more cross-training in the Dallas area, goes to multiple gyms, those two guys do train together. Saif Saiyoud corners both of them.
Yep.
So future ones will be considered doo-doo.
Yes.
Anything involving Brennan Allen and Christoph Jocko moving forward until October 1st, I will put this out there. This is not doo-doo if you picked either of those guys, because there was a couple. Both those guys were thrown in there for Caio Baraglio. Brennan Allen told James Lynch at the Hall of Fame red carpet that he had already signed the contract. He is fighting the middleweight champion of the UFC, Christoph Jocko, October 1st. So I'm throwing that out there into the world. So there you go. And then just another...
Warnings.
Yep, no warnings, no doo-doo at all. None. No doo-doo. And any doo-doo we gave in the first recording, we passed along to... Fox Sports news reporter said dumb things about Canada and it's just dumb. So all the doo-doo points for them. And I think that's it. And by the way, just another strong thing just for future reference. If there's a fight that was a rematch, put two or three
please.
Or however many times they fought,
please.
Just so we know. And then please. The other thing is if you're picking a matchup with a fighter that's already booked, please put the winner of, the loser of, win or lose, some sort of extra credit, if you will. So we know what's happening.
Yeah. So we know that you know. And one special note, I want to shout out Ro again, our first timer, for reminding me that because he suggested possibly Khakhramanov versus Umar Nurmagomedov as a rematch. And I had actually forgotten that they had fought in the PFL. So that's a very cool deep cut. That was a while ago, and I think like 4 years ago. So well done. Well done. That was any mention of the PFL on the show is always welcome. So there you go. Thank you, Ro. But again, I will read your picks again next time because we just didn't have time this week.
Okay. So that's it. Saturday, UFC is back. Long Island, East Coast love. Digging it. Prelims, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Insane.
Yes.
Insane.
2 p.m. Eastern, main card on ABC. Brian Ortega, Yair Rodriguez, Michelle Waterson, Amanda Lemos, Li Jing Liang, Muslim Salikov, Matt Schnell, Stu Mederji, Shane Burgos, Charles Jourdain, Lauren Murphy, Misha Tate, amongst others. According to the ESPN Fight Center, we have lost one of the fights. Phil Rowe, Abubakar Nurmagomedov will be rescheduled for a later date. So we will have 12 fights on this card that starts at 11 a.m. Eastern, and then they're in London, and the prelims for that card starts at noon Eastern. So we are in for some East Coast love for the next 2 weeks, and we'll be in for some much more refreshing matchmaking and hopefully much more refreshing electricity in the area where I live.
Oh,
because I am still pissed.
If people could have heard that show, our podcast, whatever the podcast version of an Oscar or Emmy is, we were gonna, like, that show was going to win it. That's the show we would have submitted.
AK and I were going to be wearing tuxes on a stage thanking MMA Fighting and the Otno listeners for this episode. And you think we're making this up? I'm dead serious. We were at an hour and 34 minutes in the power window.
So
I was literally about to do the close
part.
Of the show.
You were doing this part right now. You were doing this part like a half an hour ago.
Yeah, I'm so friggin' mad. But listen, we got it done. We came back. We did it. We gave you something. And please forgive us for not reading all the picks. I promise you we'll make it up to you. You know what, AK? I'm going to do something. Hopefully you agree with this. Live show next week.
Yeah.
To make it up to them. Live show. UFC Long Island will be fresh
possibly,
as daisies.
Possibly. Are we saying possibly Saturday night? I don't want to promise anything we can't do.
We'll ponder it.
Okay, we'll ponder.
We'll figure it out. We'll do a live one. Maybe Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning. But either way, we're going to be fresh as daisies.
All right, we owe you guys. We're going live.
We'll go live next week. But until then, everybody, thank you. UFC Vegas 58 in the books from a matchmaking perspective. We'll be back next week talking UFC on ABC/UFC Long Island. And always remember, everybody, don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun, and we're going to have a lot of fun. With some East Coast love, UFC style. Next week on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.